T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And I'm joined now in studio by Joe Plensler from the American Legion and a special guest. He is the executive director of the Veterans Cannabis Project, as well as a graduate of the United States Naval Academy and a former United States Navy SEAL. Nick, Joe, good morning to both of you and welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. It's good to be here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, Nick, let's talk about your background just a little bit. As I mentioned, you were one of those Navy SEALs that we all hear and read so much about, but we don't often get the details, the personal details of who are the men who serve in the United States Navy SEALs. So, Nick, where did you come from? When did you join? And just in general, what did you do during your time in?
Sure. I'm a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy. I went to BUDS after I graduated from Navy. Class 168 from BUDS. I served at SEAL Team 3, and then following SEAL Team 3, I served at a unit called SBU 26, which at the time was based down in Panama. We were doing riverine operations all throughout South America, primarily in support of counter-drug efforts in South America. Once I left the Navy, it was served through the 90s. I went back to graduate school, got an MBA, and started working primarily in finance and security services. It was through my time working in security services that I became aware of the cannabis industry, but at the same time, I was working very closely on a number of veteran health issues, primarily TBI. Mm. And once I started becoming more familiar with cannabis, with medical marijuana, and the opportunity that it presented for veterans as a game-changing solution for the conditions that we as a community were dealing with, I saw an opportunity to take point, to take the lead on this issue and create an organization by veterans and for veterans to lead the charge on the opportunity of cannabis to deal with our current health challenges.
You know, Nick, when we talk about the transition from active duty to veteran, I think most people assume that when it comes to our Special Forces service members, one of the things that you guys tend to be very good at is planning and execution. When it came to your transition, was that the case with you? Did you have anything come up that you didn't expect, or was it a fairly smooth transition for you when you got out?
That's a great question. No, it wasn't smooth. I think the transition from the environment that I was in within the SEAL teams into what I would generalize as the sort of broader civilian community was a challenge because the pace is much different. And the pace is much different, and the environment can also be very different. Coming from an environment where teamwork meant everything. And when I say meant everything, that was from the mundane of day-to-day of prepping gear and getting ready for a mission or a deployment, all the way to executing on the ground in challenging situations. We work together as a team, and that's not always the way that things work in the civilian world. So I think just not missing that type of community and that type of support was definitely a challenge in my transition.
Wow. But you've kept pretty busy since you've gotten out. And of course, now doing this amazing work that you've got going on with the Veterans Cannabis Project, it would seem counterintuitive to some people. Special Forces, as you said, working down in Panama, drug interdiction, and now promoting cannabis in the way that you do. So when people bring up that kind of thing that might not jibe with what they think of a Navy SEAL, what's your response to them?
I think that whether it's Navy SEALs, whether it's Marines or airmen or soldiers, look, I think our experience in the military has taught us that we need to be pragmatic. We need to think about solutions. We need to be able to put antiquated ideas or what might have been dragged into policy and place solutions ahead of that. And right now we're in the middle of a veteran health crisis and we need solutions. There's a lot of talk about the problems that we're facing right now. You know, obviously we're all aware that whether it's poor planning or the inability to anticipate the wounds of the wars of the past 15 years, and outdated VA policies have left us as veterans with limited and inadequate treatment options, whether it's for post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, which is what I worked on quite closely over the past few years, or conditions such as anxiety, depression, or alcoholism. You know, the system was unprepared to predict, prevent, or combat those problems. So when it comes to finding solutions, I became aware that cannabis has the opportunity to be a game changer in this situation.
And when it comes to the Veterans Cannabis Project that you're the executive director of, there are a variety of different organizations out there, many of which have veterans in them, looking for a variety of different things. Some of them want marijuana legalized nationwide. Some of them just want it at least to be able to be looked at for medical studies at the VA. What is the goal of the Veterans Cannabis Project, and how are you going about trying to achieve that goal?
First off, we are an organization by veterans and for veterans. So when you think about us, we are not about cannabis. We are about veterans' health. So by veterans and for veterans. And when I say that, as for veterans' health, we see cannabis is the channel and the opportunity for which veterans to take control of their health and their life. The Veterans Cannabis Project itself, we're committed to improving veterans' quality of life while reshaping America's perception of cannabis, right? Cannabis is many things, but for us veterans, it's medicine, plain and simple. So we at the Veterans Cannabis Project are working to end that stigma, and we support policies that promote informed access to medical cannabis while also creating the next generation of vested advocates through employment in the fastest, most dynamic industry in the country. And that's something I'm happy to touch more upon. But a strong component of health is gainful employment, and we see the opportunity for veterans for gainful employment in the cannabis industry. Look, this is not a fringe issue anymore. This is mainstream, and cannabis industries desperately need the skills that veterans have developed during their time in the service, which is the ability to work in a highly regulated environment where compliance is mandatory and transparency needs to be above board at all times. Veterans have those skills, and right now they're leading all across the cannabis industry, while at the same time giving back to their brothers and sisters and growing a medicinal plant that is helping them heal in many ways.
And we're speaking with Nick Etten, graduate of the Naval Academy, former Navy SEAL, and currently executive director of the Veterans Cannabis Project. Joe, he just brought up something interesting, the word stigma. And when it comes to cannabis, marijuana, whether medical or otherwise, there's certainly a stigma surrounding it of, you know, the pothead, the stoner, that caricature from the 60s and 70s. I think having someone who is a Navy SEAL being so interested in this and so devoted to the project and working on it kind of starts to blow up some of the stereotypes that particularly some of the older generations might have, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And that was one of the things that, you know, I was really surprised by pleasantly with the American Legion when we drafted that resolution in 2016 to actually, you know, go after the federal government and pressure them to remove cannabis from Schedule One. And that had overwhelming support amongst our members, 2 million of them, which mostly are, at this age, Vietnam veterans.
Yeah.
And, you know, through all of our research and the contacts that we made, I mean, it's amazing how many Harvard Business School types that are getting into this industry, essentially. You know, the official position of the American Legion now is that we're not for recreational use, but we are for research. And this is exactly why advocacy such as Nick's is so important, is because, you know, I've told you this story before, but I'm up to six veterans who have come to me personally to say, hey, the only reason I'm alive today is because I had access to cannabis. And I was able to come off a whole cocktail of zombie drugs issued by the VA. And I'm a better dad. I can sleep at night. I'm not hyper alert all the time. And so, you know, we can't make policy based on, you know, these compelling stories, But what we do need to do is the research and, you know, get to data so that we can have an adult fact-based discussion about the future of the policy of the drug in the country.
And I think that's the key there, the adult discussion and having it based on real data and not based on, you know, like Reefer Madness, essentially, a movie that was put forth by people who didn't want cannabis to be legalized, you know, 70 years ago, essentially, at this point, more than that, because of a litany of reasons that we could go into. But that's really a discussion for a different time, because that's all done. And now it's what do we do moving forward? And one of the groups doing something moving forward is the Veterans Cannabis Project and their executive director, Nick Edden. Nick, as we just talked about, you know, the stereotype, the stigma that comes along with marijuana, how much of a hurdle is that, do you think, to getting these laws changed and the schedule of the narcotic and all that stuff changed? What do you think is the biggest hurdle? Is it the stereotype and the stigma that comes along with marijuana?
I do think. I think up until a few years ago, that stigma was a block. But I think it's beginning to change. I think with our organization and the individuals that we have advocating within our group are demonstrating to legislators, again, that this is not a fringe issue, that this is medicine and we need to treat it as such. I mean, personally, I find cannabis to be a much safer, more effective, and less damaging option for treatment for my own health challenges than current prescription alternatives. And Joe brought up something that was really important. I hear every single day from veterans all across the country who are finding an improved quality of life, whether it's getting off of opiates, whether being able to throw away those benzodiazepines that the VA has been pushing on them for years and years, or whether it's gainful employment in the industry, that they're improving their quality of life through the opportunity of cannabis through both health and education. But I think the health component of it is really what's most important for veterans right now, right? We are in a health crisis. It is time to stop talking about the problems and start focusing on the solutions. We need tourniquets, not Band-Aids. And I started this organization because I saw medical marijuana as a game changer for these health issues. Whether we like it or not, we can get upset with the VA or we can get upset with the current situation, but we as veterans must assume responsibility for our healing and do something about the failure of these current treatments. The VA is not going to change overnight. The way I think about it is change in such a large bureaucratic system like the VA is almost like trying to turn an aircraft carrier around in a tight harbor. It's a very slow process. So what we need to do is we need to look at, we need to study, we need to research, and we need to accept, we need to put health policy over failed, old, outdated political ideology and give cannabis the opportunity. And what that opportunity is and what it's currently giving veterans is the opportunity to take control of their health. You know, right now, medical cannabis is legal in 29 states. However, why this conversation about veterans and cannabis is rising to the top of the narrative at the federal level is we still face a lot of unique hurdles as veterans. Cannabis is still illegal at the federal level, and the VA is a federal health system. We as veterans face legal exposure in non-MMJ states. So we as veterans are forced to break the law in order to responsibly treat ourselves. And that's wrong. To take that a little bit further, in the 29 states where medical marijuana is legal, we see time and time again that veterans are opting not to get recommendations or medical marijuana cards because they fear, and rightly so, the loss of hard-earned VA benefits. And what that does is it puts veterans right back out into the black market. And that leaves them open to exposure that we don't need. Also, there's challenges for VA physicians within the system. There's ambiguity in the law, and that leads to silence. And that's dangerous when a caregiver or a physician is trying to treat a veteran holistically. And then finally, we're required to pay for our own medicine, and that's just wrong. So as Joe brought up before, we need to open up research. We need to begin to dial in and understand how these 1,800 different strains of cannabis can be effective in treating what are the signature wounds of the wars. And one area that we see immense opportunity is mild to moderate chronic pain. 40% of what the VA treats is in some way related to pain, and we don't need damaging opiates thrown at us or pumped through the system. We need safe, responsible alternatives for dealing with that chronic pain. So there's a number of steps to getting this done, and I applaud the American Legion for taking this incredibly strong and focused stance on medical cannabis and demonstrating that it's time to rise above old political rhetoric and focus on what veterans need, which is solutions. Solutions, solutions, solutions. And we see cannabis as a game changer because time and time again, veterans are coming to us, they're sharing their stories, and they're telling us how cannabis has improved their quality of life.
And I just wanted to comment on one thing that Nick said about mainstreaming an opinion. I mean, you know, you've had Montel Williams out there for a long time, another Navy vet advocating for this. We've seen Sanjay Gupta, you know, from CNN. We've seen Dr. Oz absolutely floor the folks in a Fox News interview last week, you know, talking about how this could potentially be the off-ramp from the opioid crisis. And not just that, but like the National Academy of Medicine came out in January this year. They did a meta-analysis on 10,000 different abstracts and research papers on cannabis around the world. And they found significant evidence for, you know, treatment for chronic pain, reduced spasticity in MS patients, and reducing the symptoms of chemo-induced nausea. So there's three, you know, examples. I mean, these are serious doctors, National Academy of Medicine. I mean, that's no joke. I mean, and here's another thing back to Nick's point about the opioid crisis is that, you know, all the drugs that people are killing themselves with every day in this country are like Schedule 2 and Schedule 3 drugs.
Yep.
And cannabis is still Schedule 1, which makes it almost impossible to research.
Which is insanity, really.
It is absolute insanity. It's anti-scientific in many ways. And when you look at national polling for this matter, upwards of 80% of Americans are for medical cannabis research. So I'll say that again, upwards of 80%, right? I mean, that's a landslide in any political environment. So why we're not moving forward, you know, with a full step, just to say, hey, let's do the science. I just can't figure it out.
And the history of it, when you look into hemp and cannabis and the background of why it was made illegal in the United States, because not that long ago, in a manner of speaking, it was actually legal in the United States. It wasn't the hard drug that it's considered now. A lot of it had to do with paper and the Hearst Company seeing hemp as a competitor for their paper mills that they owned with their vertical integration of newspapers. Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating story, but one at this point that since we know all of the stories behind it, we need to do something to fix those things that happened back in the days of yellow journalism, essentially.
And for the legislators out there, I just want to remind upwards of 80% of the American public, 80% of the people in your district are for research.
Mm-hmm. And there are great things that it's doing in many ways for people who have cancer. I have an aunt who's currently dealing with cancer who marijuana has been helpful for her. And I think that may have changed the opinions of some members of my family who previously were not for any sort of legalization of it. But when you see it put into effect, that's when you start seeing the changes. When people get over what they think about it and start actually learning and knowing things, not based on feelings, based on data, that's when things change. And we're speaking with a man who knows a lot about that, Nick Eden. Nick is a Naval Academy graduate, former Navy SEAL, currently executive director of the Veterans Cannabis Project. So, Nick, for veterans out there who are either in need of something like this or those who want to move it forward, you know, personally, I am not someone who believes that I need cannabis, but I believe that there are people who do. So for someone who has that sort of opinion, what can they do to get involved in this and what can they do to move things forward?
So thanks for asking that question. There's a number of things they can do. First, they can contact us. They can find us on the internet at www.vetscp.org. They can find us on Facebook, and they can sign up for our, online. They can sign up for our newsletter. But first and foremost, they need to contact their representatives. Joe brought up a really important point about where the American population, and where specifically veterans stand on this issue, whether it's research, whether it's access, whether it's the need for immediate solutions. Veterans are in a strong majority of pro-medical marijuana. I think what I love about the veteran community is that we're all pretty pragmatic, and we have the ability to set aside that old ideology or old politics and begin to see this for what it is. Cannabis is one of the most complex and valuable medicinal plants in the world, and has the opportunity to be a game-changing solution for the specific conditions that we deal with. And it's not just post-traumatic stress. It's not just brain injury. It's not just signature wounds of the wars. It's also the broader conditions that some of our older veterans are starting to deal with, which present themselves a little bit later in life. It's symptoms related to cancer, symptoms related to Parkinson's, symptoms related to Alzheimer. Mm-hmm. We know anecdotally that from a treatment perspective, cannabis has been incredibly helpful to individuals dealing with those types of conditions. But as Joe brought up, we need to treat this like medicine. We need to move it off of Schedule One. We need to begin to research and treat it for what it is, like any other medicine in this country. I mean, we talk about there's been a process over the last few years where legislators stall on the issue because they say we need research, yet research has not been opened. And we get in this challenging cycle of, well, we don't have the research, so we can't move forward. Oh, by the way, we can't open up the research, so we can't move forward. That needs to end, and that needs to end now. Again, we as veterans are in the middle of a health crisis, and we need game-changing solutions immediately, and cannabis presents that opportunity for us.
And that's where the VA really could come into this, because, you know, they are known for doing world-class research. I mean, they invented the first pacemaker, they invented the nicotine patch, they're putting together the world's most robust human genome database right now. And why not, you know, Secretary Shulkin, launch into this and do it? And we sent a letter over to him requesting that he support research. We have, so far, it's fallen on deaf ears. You know, and I know he's got to navigate his own internal politics with the administration, but here's the bottom line. Veterans are suffering. There's potential that this has a lot of medical efficacy, and our federal government's sitting on its hands, which is unconscionable.
Well, we've been speaking with Joe Plensler of the American Legion and Nick Edden, the executive director of the Veterans Cannabis Project. Of course, to find out more about the American Legion, people can go where, Joe?
You can go to www.legion.org.
And the Veterans Cannabis Project, that website is vetscp.org, as Nick.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.